Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who is the long-distance spitting champ? Well, I think I see him. Hello, it's Witness Wednesday. I'm at Georgia Tech. It's a gorgeous day, and a fellow just walked by who just spit a stream of spit. It was like 3 feet long. Let's find out how he does that, shall we? Hey, young man, excuse me. While you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio for a moment? You up for that?
Sure.
Cool. What are you doing here at Georgia Tech?
Electrical engineering major.
You're a what?
Electrical engineering major.
Electrical engineering major. So you're kind of a geeky guy.
Sort of, I guess.
You don't seem like a geeky guy to me.
I'm not a geeky. I'm just a smart guy.
Okay, here's what I observed about you. Mm-hmm. Back there, I don't know if you realize you did this. You spit. Did you know that?
I did.
Dude, that thing went like 5 feet. What was that? What's the trick? What's the secret?
I don't know. I was born with it.
It's a gift.
It's a gift.
I'm not being sarcastic because it looks like you could take me. Why do you spit? I've always wondered about that. I'm not a spitting kind of guy myself. Why do you have to expectorate?
I just ate, so, you know, kind of saliva builds up. You want to get that out of your system.
Don't want to swallow it.
No, I'll swallow it.
Got to let it fly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to ask you a question. You ready for this? Do you believe in Easter?
I believe in Easter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to comment on something I'm not too knowledgeable about, so.
Oh, okay, so you don't know what it is. So probably not, because you don't know what it is.
Not too knowledgeable.
Okay, so you didn't go to church as a kid. Really? Where are you from?
Here, Atlanta.
From the Bible Belt, and you never went to a Bible church as a kid?
I've been one before.
All right. Do you know what Easter is at all?
The resurrection of Jesus.
You are correct, sir. Well done. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But you're not sure if you believe that.
That he physically resurrected?
Yes, sir.
No, I'm not sure.
What was the point? Do you know the theology behind it? What was the reason for it?
Can you tell me?
Well, I think that the Bible presents it like a court case. That there's a criminal in the courtroom of God's justice who's in big trouble because he's broken God's laws. And God, because he's just, has to give the criminal what he deserves. And it's a terrible sentence because the crimes of the criminal were against God himself. Things like lying, stealing, lusting, those blasphemy. But God is also kind, and he wants to set the criminal free. But he's got to uphold justice. So to do both, he sent his son Jesus to take the punishment the criminal deserves so that he could be just and the justifier of those who believe in him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. All right. See ya.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Not very interested in chatting. It's Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio. Do you believe in Easter? I know. I don't even know what the date is. But I do know that Easter was a couple of months ago, wasn't it? Right before the program began. Hold on one second. I've got to pick up a name. I was talking on the phone to the little growing pain, and I mentioned to him that we were going to try this test to see if we can still use Easter as a segue into the gospel. And he said, oh, I know this woman. She did that all the time. She would just walk up to a person and say, hello, I've got a question for you. Do you believe in Easter? Now, in the past, I've been asking the question, do you know what it is or what did you do? But the reason she would do that, even in August or September, was because it gets you right to the core of the gospel. It gets you right to the center of the issue. And I thought, well, sounds like a plan. So we're going to give that a go. Do you believe in Easter? All righty, we're here at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday. Hey, young man, while you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio?
Yeah.
Cool. What are you doing here at Georgia Tech?
I just finished up exams, getting ready to go home, trying to tie up
loose ends.
Yeah,
baby. Where are you going home?
Maryland.
Congratulations, dude. All right, you lived up in the north. This is the South. Have you noticed a difference?
There is slight differences.
Talk to me about religion. You know, this is the Bible Belt.
Well, being on campus, you don't see too much about religion. You see a lot of parties here, but we do have different organizations on campus that are dedicated toward religion.
All right, here's my religious question for you today.
Okay.
Do you believe in Easter?
Yes.
What is it?
The day Christ rose.
All right. And what is the significance? Why should I believe in it?
You should believe in Easter because it's how God paid for your sins. Without that, you have no chance of, you know, making it to heaven.
I'm a good Buddhist.
Well, I just believe that Christianity is the religion that you should follow. Because if you look in the Bible, a lot of those things are just good to apply to your life. And I don't know too much about Buddhism, but that's the way I was raised up.
Okay, but can I go along my merry way being a good Buddhist? Will I be okay on Judgment Day?
To be honest with you, I don't know the answer to that question, and I don't have anything against you if you're a Buddhist. I'm not necessarily the type to try to convert you, but I do believe you should believe in something.
Okay, so I'm a Buddhist. I die. What do you think is going to happen to me?
I have no idea.
So as a Christian, that just happens to work for you, but I can be whatever I want and we're all okay?
I don't know.
All right, here's what I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe, as a Buddhist, that if I wear a bracelet, just like Richard Gere, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday, while listening to a radio show called Wretched, I believe that when I die, I'll spend eternity in Tibet with the Dalai Lama and Richard Gere and Julia Roberts. Do you think I'm wrong?
Most likely, but if that's what you believe, that's what you believe.
Well, that's what I believe, but am I wrong?
I don't know. Who am I to judge whether you're right or wrong?
A human being, and I won't be offended. And you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think you would tell me that I'm wrong. Because your religion is right, isn't it?
Yes, but I think in the end, it comes down to, I think you should believe something. If that is what you believe, I have no problem with you. I'm not going to tell you you're going to hell.
Why not?
I would invite you to church, but just...
All right, let me try to bore in on this a little bit, okay?
Okay.
I'm not a Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Christian, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life.
Mm-hmm.
He came to this world to die on a cross to take the punishment for you and me that God might still be just and the justifier of those who believe in him. And without that payment credited to your account or my account, we'll be found guilty and God will give us what we deserve because the Bible says there's nobody who does good, no, not one Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
And without the payment of Jesus, we're without hope. So it's real easy to say those religions are just plain wrong. Doesn't mean we hate them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we love them. They're just wrong. Doesn't mean we're intolerant and we tie him down and we try to force him to become a Christian. But we can easily say, because Jesus is the truth, everything else is false. Just like on a multiple choice test.
Right.
You know, you cannot say they give you 15 choices.
Mm-hmm.
You find the right one, all the other ones are wrong. Same thing with Jesus. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
So a good Buddhist really doesn't exist because everybody sins.
Right.
And a Buddhist would find himself wanting on the Day of Judgment because Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not intolerant to say that. It's actually loving to let somebody know that.
Okay.
When did you become a Christian?
I guess back when I was seven is when I really started getting serious with church. I've been going to church since I was born with my parents and things like that. But I guess it kind of clicked around the age of 7, 8. That's when I started, you know, wanting to go to church a little bit more.
Okay. So if I found your friends here on campus,
mm-hmm.
and I asked them, hey, what's the most important thing in his life? What would they say?
I think they would say keeping his morals and doing the right thing.
Okay. Would they say Jesus is the most important thing in his life?
Maybe not those exact words, no.
But something like that, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. I think we'd have to do more of his teachings, like trying to, you know, be helpful to others and things like that.
Okay, so you look like a nice guy. You behave well.
Yes.
But it's about the heart, though, right?
Right.
Because, I mean, she looks like a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that her heart is pure or that her sins have been forgiven. Mm-hmm. Dude, how often do you read your Bible?
At least 3 times a week. I try to read it before I go to bed, but sometimes, you know, we have those late nights and just don't read it.
Okay. So for sure, just because you were a little waffly on the Jesus being the only way,
mm-hmm.
you died right now. You know for a fact you're going to heaven. Is that correct?
Yes.
beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Yes.
You repented and put your trust in him.
Yes.
You love him more than anything else.
Yes.
All right, dude. Congratulations. Rock on. See
you. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Have a
go. Got to teach our kids to not be ashamed of the gospel. I know it's tough, young person. I know they think that you're really mean if you say that you're right and they're wrong. They've always said that. Yeah, it's maybe a little worse with the intolerance nonsense and the postmodern silliness. But don't be ashamed. It's not loving to withhold the truth. And really, you don't want to be brash and you don't want to be arrogant, but just confidently state, what do you, other religions? No. Jesus is God. He's the only one. That's the only way. Oh, you got to hear about this, because no, the other ones are false. And to say it with confidence, yes, with love, but with confidence. The world is perishing without that truth. They're going down. And to withhold that, that's not loving. That's not kind. That is not nice. Knowing the truth and not sharing it, what's the word I'm looking for? Yes, I think I have it. Is sin. So be bold, okay? Young person, be bold. People have been fed to the lions so that we could have this message. We are at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Kratz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
Books of the Bible. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter before his execution. He encourages Timothy to persevere amid suffering. Paul had suffered for the sake of the gospel, but he also knew the beauty and power of the gospel. He charges Timothy to cling to and preach the gospel, When you face opposition, do not fear or be ashamed, but trust God and rely on His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Gentlemen,
hello.
You look interesting. Can I talk to you on the radio while you're walking to wherever you're going?
Sure, man. What's up?
Dude, why do you have a towel? That's your T-shirt on your head.
Why don't I have a towel on my head?
Because most people don't. It doesn't look like it's the norm.
It's not the norm, but I just got done with finals.
And you're a happy man.
I am a happy man.
How'd you do?
I did great.
Good for you. Are you graduating? Are you all done?
I am graduating.
Rock on. Do you have a job?
I got one lined up. Got an interview coming up. Hopefully it goes well.
Good on you.
Yeah.
And you want to be what?
I want to be a civil engineer.
A civil engineer, which means you're very polite when it comes to designing things.
Oh, yes.
Something like that. All right, here's my one question. I'm asking the same question.
Okay.
You ready for this? Are you sure?
Maybe.
You might not be.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
Okay.
Because I'm getting... Have you been visiting establishments where they pour beverages?
Today?
Dude, if not, it's leaking out of you.
Yeah, I tend to.
Okay, so you might not appreciate this question. Here it is, though. Do you believe in Easter?
I mean, I appreciate the holiday, but I'm not really a religious person, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, why not?
Why not? Oh, my God. Because people feel like they have to believe in something, and logistically, it's not there.
Okay, what is Easter?
What is Easter? Easter is supposed to be Jesus' resurrection. But mm-hmm. The way I look at it, it's just a time to get together with some family, eat some good food, and go Easter egg hunting.
Ham, Easter chocolate bunnies.
Yeah.
What was the story that you just shared? Jesus rising from the dead?
That's what they tell me.
What was the point?
I don't know.
No idea.
No.
Huh. Because he was weak?
I don't know.
All right, who did they tell you Jesus is?
Dude, you're talking about a made-up person, man. Why not ask him why Santa Claus is the way he is, man?
Well, we can do that next.
Oh,
okay.
My
so, who do you think Jesus at least claimed to be?
I guess he claimed to be the prophet.
You actually had the answer right there.
What?
God. He's God.
I guess he's God, yeah.
Well, that's what he said, right?
Yeah.
And there was the reason for dying on a cross.
There was no reason. Nah, there's no reason. Died for our sins, that's man.
Yeah, because why?
If it happened, the dude got mutilated, and I feel bad for him.
Now, do you think you're a sinner?
Yes, I'm a sinner, definitely.
You are?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Every day.
So, if you were judged by God as a sinner,
yes,
what would happen to you, dude?
I guess I'd go to hell.
But you don't seem concerned.
I'm not concerned at all, because it's made up.
Well, why don't you listen to your conscience, that little thing that tells you?
I do listen to my conscience.
Good.
Oh, my God, you're about to test you, man. I'm a good person at
don't
heart.
Don't get mad at me.
I'm not getting mad, but don't ask me questions, dude.
Okay, like what?
Like a God and all that. You gotta understand, it's a false thing, man. And if you don't have the smarts to like realize that, I feel bad for you.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
One more.
You seem to be getting kind of mad or upset.
All right.
No, if I'm being a jerk, you can tell me, and then I'll change my tune.
Okay.
But if you're getting upset, if I'm reading you right here, I'm just asking you some questions. Why are you getting kind of exercised?
Because that's how I do, man.
All right. Hey, all right. Congratulations.
Appreciate it,
all right,
man.
See you, dude.
Have a good
goodbye. All right. There's a... Don't dial that. I want to talk to you on the radio while you're walking. Is that okay, dude?
I'm sorry.
What?
I have to go.
I'll go with you.
All right. Wait,
is that okay?
Stop. Sure.
All right. I'm asking one question. The last guy got kind of mad at me, so I'll understand if you get torqued at me, all right?
Okay.
Here's the question. Do you believe in Easter?
No.
Why not? You're Jewish. That would explain it right there, wouldn't it?
I know. I'm sorry.
That's it. What are you apologizing for?
My Jewishness.
Why? I love Jewish people. I think you're smarter than Gentiles. I do, and yeah. I'm not flattering you. I think that as a people, Jews are God's chosen people, and part of that is you're just smart, and I really appreciate that.
Experience has shown me otherwise, but
well, maybe
you're entitled to your opinions.
You probably spent more time around Jews, but really, when you look at things like success in business, management, boy, I got to tell you got something going on, dude. But you don't think so, huh?
Not really.
All right. Are you a practicing Jew?
Yes, I am.
Cool. How do you practice? What do you do?
I keep kosher.
Serious?
I know.
You do not.
Pretty hardcore.
You do not. Maybe that's why you can only bench 140. I'm kidding you. Don't hit me.
It's a good reason.
Okay. So you don't eat anything that is on the list?
On that, you know.
How many kosher laws are there?
Too many.
A lot.
Yeah.
And why do you follow those laws? What's the point?
Tradition.
Well, a lot of work for a tradition. Is there a spiritual reason?
No.
Now, isn't the idea to keep the laws for righteousness' sake?
That's the idea, but I've taken ideas and, you know, kept what I think is reasonable.
Okay. You kind of old country buffeted it. You picked what you wanted?
Yeah.
Okay. I would suggest to you the laws were for something else.
There are other reasons for it, but I don't agree with those reasons.
See, I think it's the opposite of to be righteous. I think the laws were designed to show us that we're not righteous. We can't keep them. We're not good, and we need a Messiah. Otherwise, we're in big trouble. That's what I think the purpose of those laws was.
You see, honestly, I think the true reason for those laws is to separate Jews from the general public. Mm-hmm. I think that
I do too.
Separation.
No, I do too. That would be your Exodus 19, but in a good way, so that if you keep all those laws, the world would look at the Jewish people being blessed by God, and they'd say, "Who's your God? I want to know who that is."
I guess.
Yeah. Have you kept all the laws?
No.
Huh. Have you told lies? Have you kept the laws of Moses? Have you broken them by lying, for instance?
Sure.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Of course.
Have you ever been sexually impure? You don't even have to answer if you don't want to.
Of course.
All right. So you haven't kept God's laws.
No.
What will God do with you if you've fallen short of keeping his standard? You die. What's God going to do?
You see, the way I like to think of it is, you know, we don't believe in hell. So we don't have really the same kind of, you know, laws that most people do. So I don't think anything bad is going to happen to me. I'm probably not going to be, you know...
So there's not going to be any justice in God's courtroom?
Justice...
Do you think God's going to let the rapists and the murderers just get away scot-free?
Honestly, yes.
But that's not just. That's not righteous.
Yeah,
and righteousness
the world isn't
and justice...
Fair. Why would God be fair?
Because he's fair, and that's how we know that it's not fair. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a clue. We wouldn't have an objective standard to know what it is.
That's semantics.
Okay. I think it's logical, but... Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He likes justice. He likes righteousness.
So says a book.
The Bible, right. The
written
one that you're getting your
people.
Laws from. Yeah.
I know that I'm getting my laws from a book, but the book has been kept for generations. That's what makes it sacred, not its origins.
Now, why have you, personally, not because that's your culture, I know the idea of Jesus and Messiah is almost as bad as... eating non-kosher. It's like a very bad thing.
Not to me.
It's not.
No. I respect Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think he was?
I think he was a wise man.
You know that he claimed to be the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
So was this wise man a liar?
He could be.
But he's still wise.
Yeah. A thinker.
A thinker. Okay. Passover. Mm-hmm. What was it? What happened on Passover? Do you still celebrate Passover?
I do.
Yom Kippur? Okay. What happened? What was sacrificed for what reason on those holidays? An unblemished lamb for the covering, Qatar, the covering of sins, right? So when you're celebrating Passover, you're reminded when the death angel passed over the children of Israel because a lamb that had come to live with his people, unblemished, was sacrificed, blood on the doorpost, and the death angel was passed over because of the covering of the blood of the lamb.
Correct.
Isaiah 53 describes the Messiah as the innocent lamb who would brutally be beaten and killed, not for the covering, but for the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lamb can't take away sins.
Right.
Only a God-man could take away sins because you need a representative, because you're a man, and God's wrath needs to be satisfied. So a God-man, Jesus, was that unblemished lamb who died for the forgiveness of sins. Okay. That's what he claimed. You reject that, though, I'm guessing.
I don't reject it or accept it. I don't know.
Well, to not accept it is to reject it. So, for instance, what I'm basically just said to you, Jesus could forgive all of your sins if you put your trust in him. So if you don't do that, then you're rejecting it, even if it's kind of a...
Oh, okay, I see that.
Kind of an attitude.
It's like the opt-out kind of...
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So why would you want to opt out on that?
Because I like to think of the concept of our actions in a way that... I can't deny myself the responsibility that I feel like everybody has towards their actions. I don't think that anyone can die for my sins and take them away. Take any action, any meaning of the action away. I've done things knowingly that I know are wrong, and I take responsibility for them. And if that means whatever, when I die, I'm willing to face those consequences.
But the consequences are going to be horrific because it's horrific. A sin against God.
In some people's opinions, but you'd agree that someone who is a nihilist or someone who doesn't believe in anything would believe that nothing is going to happen to me when I die.
But the question is, who is right? Because it doesn't matter what I believe. The question is,
what is right is only what I think is right, because I cannot trust anyone else's opinion except my own.
But that doesn't mean your opinion is right. You're either right or wrong. And same with mine. I'm either right or wrong.
If you think about it in a semi-scientific way, I mean, every option is equally likely because I have no reason to prefer one opinion over the other. But my own opinion...
What are you studying here?
Electrical engineering.
Okay, so when I say 2 plus 2 is 94, mm-hmm. It's an option, but it's wrong.
Actually, when you go into abstract mathematics...
Come on, my Jewish friend. It's always 4.
No.
All right, dude. I got to take a break. I'll keep walking with you, okay?
All right.
Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break production of Fortis Institute. Now, the culture of death never seems to really take a break. A guy by the name of Roger Foley, who's a disabled individual, has been stuck in London Health Science Center for 9 years now. 9 years. And the staff there are so obsessed with getting him to choose medical assistance in dying that they're literally asking him about suicide while they're cleaning up his bowel movements. I mean, think about that for just a second. The man can't even have basic human dignity during care without someone pushing death on him. Now, there's pushback happening across the pond as British MPs actually grew a spine and voted down this effort to let doctors bring up assisted suicide with kids unprompted. Dr. Gordon MacDonald from Care Not Killing pointed out the obvious. When you've got mental health waiting lists stretching for months, maybe expanding access to state-sponsored death is not the brilliant solution you seem to claim that it is. Speaking of institutions losing their minds, a Serbian soccer star, who's a great player, by the way, I just can't pronounce his name. This guy got banned for 4 games for putting white tape over a rainbow badge on his jersey. The French league's having their International Day Against Homophobia. A Muslim player, Ahmad Hassan, did the same thing and got the same punishment. Society seems to have evolved to the point where quietly declining to promote something gets you punished. Yeah, and then there's Santa Clara University. The place was founded by Jesuits in 1851, and now they're requiring therapy students to write detailed sexual autobiographies. One student named Naomi had the courage to expose the pornographic curriculum in the Wall Street Journal. And what happened? Well, she got fired from her internship. The assignment prompts are so explicit that I literally could not read them. But they want students detailing their childhood sexual experiences and future sexual aspirations. But here's where it gets interesting. Some institutions are actually waking up. Planned Parenthood is facing a crisis that could shut down 200 abortion centers. About time. Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia launched a federal investigation into how they're misusing taxpayer funds and they're potentially losing $700 million in annual funding. Even Wall Street seems to be reading the room now. Citigroup just completely scrapped their anti-gun banking policies and pledged to stop discriminating against conservatives. Meanwhile, in Seattle, the police chief is promising to protect residents from federal agents trying to restore order on his anarchist playground. And local officials are so dead set against cooperating with law enforcement, you know exactly where their priorities are, and it is not with the people they are elected to represent. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching, introduced the regulative principle, and brought a republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yoni, what does Yoni mean?
It means God gave.
God gave what? You.
Yeah.
All right. We are at Georgia Tech on Wretched Radio talking with Yoni, the non-arrogant but better than me Jewish guy. Huh? How do you like that?
I don't like it that much.
You don't think you're better than me?
I try not to feel that way.
See, I'm telling you, I think you're a chosen people and God still has a special plan for Israel. And I, you know what I think the proof is, dude? Mm-hmm. That you are still a people. Do you know, you lived in Jerusalem or outside of Jerusalem for a decade, right? Dude, let's go in the shade.
Okay. All
right? You were there for a decade, right? And how many centuries were the Jews without a homeland when the Muslims took over? 7th century, mm-hmm. right? So what is that? 14 centuries, 13 centuries without a homeland. There is no people group in the history of the world that has ever survived after 2 generations without a homeland, except the Jewish people. That's a miracle.
Barely.
But still, it's there. You're there, man. You got the land, right?
I know, but what price?
And you're a people. You're still Jewish. Even though you're dispersed all over the globe, you've still maintained that ethnicity. I think...
That's a blanket statement, though. There are many different flavors of Judaism.
You're right. I agree with you. But still, it's there. You know, you don't hear about the Baalites or the Ashtarites. They're just all gone. Or you don't hear about those religions or those peoples, but you hear about Judaism and you hear about the God of the Bible. I think that's a miracle. I do.
Well, it just so happens that the God of the Bible is worshipped by a very large percentage of the world's population, so it's not such a fringe religion, I guess.
Okay. I don't think that it's worshipped by the majority. Christians,
not,
yes.
Not by the majority. I said a large, okay. large percentage.
All right.
Give me that.
Okay. But I think it's pretty miraculous. Agreed?
Miraculous, no. I mean, right. If you think about the structure of the religion, it was meant to survive.
Okay, I agree. I agree. And who do you think came up with that brilliant plan behind that religion?
Not man. It's hard to say.
Not man.
Could be man.
Okay, here's our situation. Adam and Eve, they're put in the garden.
Right.
They're told not to eat.
Mm-hmm.
They eat.
Right.
They fell into sin.
Right.
What did they do as soon as they fell into sin?
I don't remember, actually.
They made... took leaves to cover up their nudity because they were ashamed.
Right.
All right? Okay, so your heroes tried to cover up their own sin and shame.
Sure.
God finds them in the garden.
Right.
And he does what? Do you remember?
I remember he banishes them and...
That's true.
He
Good.
Takes away the snake's legs and what else happens?
What does he do about their nudity and their leaves? Do you remember that detail? It's a big one.
I don't really remember, but I do remember that... That's when pregnancy became such a big thing.
Okay. He killed the first animal ever. We don't know for sure what it was. I suspect it was a lamb, but we don't know for sure. He killed an animal.
Oh,
an animal
that
never
died.
Well, that's what they did by sinning, rebelling against God. But they tried to cover up their own nudity by themselves, by making their own clothes. God said, those clothes aren't acceptable. Here is a animal sacrifice covering for you, because it's God who must cover sin. We humans can't cover our own sin. God must cover our sins.
Okay.
It's a picture again of an animal being sacrificed for the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament animal, if you will, would be Jesus the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins. See all the Old Testament pictures going on?
Sort of.
A little bit.
I see where you're going.
Yeah. All right, Cain and Abel. Quiz time.
All right.
Cain killed Abel.
Mm-hmm.
What did Adam and Eve do?
I don't remember. They raised
Cain. It's one of my favorite jokes. Okay. What did God do when he knew that this was going to happen? Cain killed Abel. What did he say was the problem? What was the fight? What was the source of contention between Cain and Abel?
I don't remember.
Taking you back? All right. Cain had made a vegetable sacrifice. He was a farmer.
Right.
Abel made an animal sacrifice.
I remember.
God found the animal sacrifice pleasing, but not the vegetable. Once again, there must be a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Leviticus 17:11. There is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood.
Think about modern Judaism. We don't shed... Actually, we do.
Because you don't have a temple.
We do. We do. We slaughter a chicken for Yom Kippur sometimes. Not me, but other people do. I understand that, but it's something that I choose not to believe in.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But at least it's pretty compelling that all of those kind of fuzzy pictures in the Bible have a fulfillment in one individual who claimed to be the Messiah, who came to rescue you. He came to the Jews to rescue the Jews, to fulfill all the laws, to fulfill all righteousness, because you can't, right?
But I don't really think that that's the value of Jesus. I understand that that's why you believe in Jesus, but I feel like the social commentary that he provided was more...
But it's not better, though. I mean, it's one thing to be able to live life in a more ordered way. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better if there's a God in the universe who's mad at me for breaking his laws. It's way better to have somebody who can forgive my sins than to tell me how to live.
But you see, that's the thing. I don't like the fact that
God is angry at me for the way I live my life. I feel like the way I live my life is how I want to live my life.
But it's fallen and it's broken, like me. I do it wrong. Because you know who I love more than anybody else in the world? Me. And you love you more than anything.
That's true.
And God says, I want you to love me more than anything else.
But how can, that's like an unreasonable expectation in my opinion.
Well, we're fallen, we're broken, but the good news is there's somebody who has done it all right. You and I are hopeless and helpless. That's what the law shows us.
You see, I don't believe that when I listen to investments or other things. Why would I believe that when it comes to religion? That someone else has all the answers. There's one thing that you can do that makes everything better, and it's right for everybody. It's not right. Nothing else is like that. Would you agree with me? Like,
perhaps.
When you are working out, you have to have a personal workout routine. Things that are customized to yourself. You have to go through your own path in life. How does everybody have the same exact solution?
Well, we all have the same problem in this instance. Okay, you might be lacking leg strength and I'm lacking upper body strength. But then we need a different regimen. But when it comes to our lives, we all have the same problem.
Where else do you see that, though?
I'm not sure that anything parallel is necessary for it to be true. Because
right.
You would agree that everybody has sinned. We've all lusted, we've all lied, we've all stolen, we've all blasphemed.
Of course.
So if God is just, remember that line? Righteousness, justice, the foundation of his throne.
But again, if we look at the Bible itself and we look at literal... the literal meaning, I don't see the justice in God. I see pettiness. I see a lot of different actions that are...
You know what? Okay, let's try this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is helpful because the problem is, I think, is what we perceive the standard to be. You look at lying or lusting or pornography or whatever it is that you happen to do and you go, look, boys will be boys. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because your perspective is about here, way down about this level, about 2 feet off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see some things, you think they're... just despicable, like molesting a child. You'd go, that's nasty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Why did that become nastier than lying or stealing?
Social constructs.
Okay, now, imagine this. Let's say that your morality level, your holiness level, rose to the ceiling above us. It's not 2 feet off the ground. Now it's way up here. Now you'd look down and you'd see a lot of things in a lot more filthy way, a lot more reprehensible way, not because those activities became more violent or grotesque, but because your standard and your understanding of what is good and bad has increased. Are you tracking with me?
I'm tracking with you, but I disagree.
God is above the ceiling. He's so high, he's able to look down and say, all liars will have their part in a lake of fire.
Who's a moral figure that you believe is even higher than me or you?
It.
I mean, we're not talking about God
here.
We're talking about...
isn't going to matter, though. Here's why. If you walk into the courtroom and you've murdered 3 people and I've murdered 5 or 1, we're both murderers and we're both guilty and we're both in trouble. God looks down and he is so into justice, he's not going to let liars get away with it or rapists or thieves or murderers. There will be a day when everybody will give an account for what they have done.
Okay,
no,
explain something
cases.
To me. What's the difference between a murderer who killed 5 people and a soldier from biblical times that was... told by God to go kill people.
Yeah. One is a commandment by God. It's just. God can kill any. He could kill you and me on the spot.
Right.
And
even women
deserve.
And children.
Everybody deserves it. Do you remember what David said? In sin was I born. In iniquity did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51. We were born sinful. It's what we are. When Adam and Eve fell, he was our representative.
Was killing
you
Jesus
and
a
I.
sin?
Oh, yeah.
But... that seems like a little bit of a contradiction.
The humans committed the sin, but you
he
know,
wasn't born in
you,
sin.
But
though.
You know who really? No, he wasn't.
So what exactly was his sin that made it?
That's the point. He didn't sin. He took your sin upon himself.
Mm-hmm.
He took the punishment that you deserve, so that God could be just and the justifier of those who believe in him. God must punish you. He's got to do it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be good and just.
Well, thank
but
you. God, I think I understand now.
But God loves you, mm-hmm. and he wants to rescue you and save you. Mm-hmm. And he gave you all those shadowy pictures of the lambs and the blood being sacrificed to let you know that Jesus, the Messiah, mm-hmm. is the perfect sacrifice so that he can be just and still forgive you. So he's both things. He's just and kind together. The Bible says, for God,
it's like the ultimate
soul...
loophole.
It's the ultimate gift. You can call it a loophole, but dude, we're parting company. You're still Jewish. I'm still a Christian. If you ever get to the point where you start thinking, you know what, my conscience, which you have inside your head, is troubling me, and I need a sacrifice, think about Jesus. Fair enough? All I can ask you to do.
Fair enough.
All right. It's Yoni, right?
Yes,
say that
it
right?
Is.
All right. What is it called? What does it mean again?
God gave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. I wonder what that refers. Is that you're the gift or God gave something else?
I mean,
don't know for sure.
Your guess is as good as mine, but, you know, it's a biblical name, so.
It is. All right, dude. Hey, thanks for the chat.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. See you, man. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Important dates in Christian history. 1830. Charles Finney's urban revivals begin and introduce techniques that decisively affect later mass evangelism in America. Finney's innovations included the anxious bench, a forerunner to altar calls, and the use of emotional manipulation to elicit a decision for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Could have talked to that kid all day, and I'm not kidding. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech. Honestly, I don't know why, and I don't think it makes me super spiritual. I love talking to Jewish people. I really do. Part of it is their intelligence. Part of it is their characteristics and their mannerisms. Part of it might just be that when you look at a Jew today, I think you're looking into the face of a Jew from 2,000 years ago, perhaps. And it's just kind of cool to look at it and go, I'm looking at the face of somebody that could have been walking around with Jesus. I enjoy that very much. And so I enjoyed my conversation with Yoni. And I'll say it again. I think the Jews are smarter. Would love to keep talking with him, but now at least he understands and he knows the basics of Christendom. And that the Old Testament was pointing so much toward Messiah that it's just unmistakable. And those laws that he's been trying to keep were designed to help him understand he can't keep them and he needs a Messiah. That was the purpose of the law. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And the Bible tells us, Jeremiah, we don't have a clean heart. We've got a sin-stained heart. The heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So even if the person is able to keep all of those laws, they're doing it with a self-righteous, wrong motive, and all of the sacrifices and all the offerings to God come from tainted hands and they aren't acceptable. That's the point of the laws. That's the point of the commandments. And that's why we must use them when we witness to people. I wish I could have talked to him all day, because nice kid. And interesting and smart questions and thoughtful questions. But until he, like any other Jewish person or any other person, gets to the point where they realize they need a lamb sacrifice, well, they won't need Jesus. Hence the necessity to labor in the law. Is it getting kind of loud here, by the way? Are you getting kind of beeped out and constructioned out? Now they've got a new construction site going on. Don't they know we're trying to witness to people here? Hey, dude, while you're walking, could I ask you some questions on the radio?
Sure.
You up for that? Are you done with classes?
Nope.
No? Honest?
I got one more test left.
Ew, which one?
DSP.
Ah,
Digital
DSP.
Signal processing.
You didn't have to tell me. What do you, I look stupid?
Yeah.
What is it?
Digital signal processing.
Help me out. What does it mean?
It's analyzing sinusoids and stuff like that, like in voice and different things. It can be applied to many different fields.
All right, I'm just going to bang my head against a wall. What's a sinusoid?
A sine wave, like from zero to pi, and it repeats itself. And
you want to know how dumb I am? As if I haven't already demonstrated it. I don't think I can remember. Pi is 22.14 something?
3.14,
that's it. Wowza. Oh, this isn't humiliating. That's right, 3.14, and then it goes on forever, right?
Yeah.
Into infinity.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's an unreal.
All right. It's an irrational
number. There we go.
I'm guessing right now, you, along with everybody who's listening, thinks I'm just a complete idiot, right?
Probably.
All right, fair enough. But you know what? I think that's good, though. There's guys like you who think the way you think. I think in a different way. And then the whole world gets along.
Yeah, thank the Lord for that.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Jesus Christ is the Lord.
I see. And you're sure of that? You're talking now with your sinusoid. What are they called?
Sinusoids?
Yeah, they went to the other end of the spectrum. You said that with certainty.
Yeah.
All right. Prove to me that Jesus is Lord.
Well, I mean, it's something that I've experienced personally.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not necessarily something, it's not hard, easy to explain. But I've experienced the Lord working in my life in very real ways. I mean, he's brought me through many hard times in my life. Brought me out of a dark place.
So that would be an anecdote. But if I could go find a Hindu who said the same thing about their little idol that's sitting up on their mantle. So I've got a Christian who says that their idol worked, and a Hindu who says their idol worked. Why should I go for your idol?
Well, I mean, the one thing I would say is that Jesus Christ is either the savior of the world or the greatest liar on earth, because he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Are you saying then that the Hindu's idol is wrong?
Yes, I am.
Just like that?
Yeah.
So the majority of people in the world you believe are wrong?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, they can probably find some truths within there, but all truth comes from God.
Okay.
So,
all right. I want to give you 30 seconds. Give me your best shot. Convert me. Go.
Man, put me on the spot there. But,
dude, I'm kind of enjoying this, because ever since, there's got to be something in math that's a 22 something. What am I confusing pi? What's a 20? Isn't there some number that is meaningful at 22?
I know the gold ratio is pretty close to there.
That's what I was thinking of. Okay, go ahead, convert me.
This is really kind of sad, but I mean...
I said Pi was 22. You have nothing to be ashamed of.
But, because the one thing I just experience it so personally myself, and I would want you to experience it. So
experience what?
Just the fullness of life within God.
My life's full, dude.
I mean, but there has to be some, like, everybody, like, struggles with something in their life. I mean...
Nope. Doing good. Kids are healthy.
Yeah?
Yep. Wife's terrific. Paying the taxes. Life is good.
Yeah? So you don't see any need for any kind of God?
No.
No? Well, so... All right. I mean, what are your moral scale? What is your moral scale? How do you scale your,
I'm not in jail.
Yeah? So it's basically based on deeds? Or, like, is it based on the law?
Sure. Or just general societal norms of morality. I haven't murdered anybody. Haven't stolen anything. You know, good person.
Okay. But for me, like, a good person, they still can't get into heaven. Or do you believe in heaven and hell? That's a good question to start off with.
Oh, wait a second. Why wouldn't a good person go to heaven?
Because the only way to get to the Father is through Jesus Christ.
But why? I'm a good person.
Because even though you're a good person, you have slipped up before.
I've slipped up before? What are you insinuating?
And with sin. I mean, have you ever gone through the Ten Commandments?
Go ahead and use them on me.
I mean, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. I mean, have you ever done that ever before?
Good question. Yes.
So with that sin, you become separated from God.
Okay.
And the only way to get back together to God is through Jesus Christ.
What if I give some money to charity?
That's there's some people that believe that. And that's more of Jehovah Witness and stuff like that. I mean, there's different people that do believe that, but I don't believe that because that's not biblically what's true. And I believe in the Bible, and I believe what the Bible says is true.
All right. Let me share something with you. What's your first name?
I'm Rex.
Rex, it's nice to meet you. King Rex, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Rex, when you got to that law part, mm-hmm. rock on. See, a lot of people are going to go to school here, and they're going to graduate, and they're going to get great jobs, and they're going to get huge homes and fancy cars, and they're going to have absolutely no need for God. But when you hit on that law business, that Ten Commandment thing, dude, you found the sweet spot. Because our need isn't a fulfilled life. Our need is forgiveness. That's right. What everybody's lacking. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So use that law, dude. That was excellent. So the next time somebody says, well, why do I name Jesus? Or you're trying to witness to somebody, you don't need to be accusatory. You can actually just open up the law and use it like a mirror to hold it up to somebody's faith. Because we all think we're good.
Right.
And we're
yeah.
self-righteous and arrogant. I'm not as bad as, well, that slug across the street there.
Definitely.
But when you compare people to God's standard, then they can go, okay, I get it. Hell becomes reasonable. And then the sacrifice of Jesus is suddenly esteemed and appreciated because God died for sinners.
Right.
So ask people questions like you did. Have you lied? Have you stolen? Have you looked with lust? That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It gets every guy just in big trouble, okay? Now, if God judged you, what would he give you, heaven or hell?
Right.
And suddenly it becomes kind of reasonable, and then you can explain good news. God will send you to hell because he's just, but he wants to save you, and he sent his son Jesus to keep all the laws that you broke, and he kept them all, rose from the dead, defeated death, and now you must repent and put your trust in him. And he'll adopt you as his child, and he'll grant you everlasting life based on what Jesus did, not you.
Right.
So, dude, you got there. Use that law when somebody asks you for the hope that lies within you, what the reason is.
Right.
Because you got a savior from sins, not a life enhancer. It's sweet with Jesus. I'm a Christian, obviously.
Okay, yeah.
It is the abundant life. But people don't need a high. They need forgiveness.
Okay.
And they need to be reconciled to God and restored in their relationship to him. So focus not on the effects of the gospel, but the gospel itself. We get love, joy, peace, patience, etc.
Right.
But that's not the gospel. That's the result of the gospel.
Okay.
The heart of it is sinners saved by Jesus.
Yeah.
Dude, Nice to meet you, Rex.
Good to meet you, too.
All right, man. See you. Goodbye.
See you.
Thanks for making me look like a dope. I appreciate it very much. 22. 20, Pi is 22. From Georgia Tech. Until tomorrow. I'm the biggest idiot in the world. 22. The Pi. Go serve your king.